إن الحمد لله أحمده وأستعينه وأستغفره نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he's the only one worthy of praise. I seek his help, his guidance and his forgiveness. I believe in him and I trust him. I seek refuge on Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is his sunnah. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. After this, I greet you all with the greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be with you all. And I would like to welcome all of you inshallah for continuation for our classes of explanation and comment and authentication for the book of Bulugh al-Maram min Adillat al-Ahkam lil-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, the attainment of the objective. And today inshallah this our 8th class for the 6th album. This is the 8th class for the 6th album. And today inshallah we have a new chapter, which is chapter number 2, page number 514. And we're starting inshallah tonight with hadith 1252. And this chapter concerning countless and Babul Birri Wassila. This chapter concerning Al-Birr Wassila. Al-Birr, which righteousness, kindness, good deed, and Sila, which joining the relationship, the blood relationship, keeping the family ties, and by visitation, good word, giving them and sharing with them from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to keep the blood relationship for the members of the family and those who relate to you, regardless if too close to you or too far away from you, they're still related to you through blood relationship and family relationship. So keeping these ties connected and to be generous and kind to them, this what's our chapter today is concerning about it. And also this related to the Muslims in general, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had informed us in the Quran, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةَ. Indeed, the believers are brothers. The only kind of brotherhood that been established or acknowledged and recognized by Allah is the relationship between the Muslims. Not for any other reasons, not because you Arab or because you black or because you understand you're rich or because you're doctors, okay? All these things, you understand, is part of tribalism, if this is what's going to make you support one another or help one another. So you only jump and try to help if the person in the same professional or the same color or from the same country, okay? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established a relationship which under it comes the black, the white, the Arab, the American, the Chinese, the rich, the poor, the male, the female, and this is what the faith, the iman, innama al-mu'minuna ikhwa. And inshallah will come also in this chapter about how we supposed to keep this relationship among ourselves good to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first hadith with us today, inshallah, or tonight, hadith Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man ahabba an yubsat lahu fi rizqihi wa an yunsa lahu fi atharih falyasil rahimah. This hadith reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi. So the hadith is authentic. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that whosoever wants that his provision, his risk to be increased, and he want extension in his age, let him do what? Tie the relationships between him and families. Let him visit and be kind to his relatives. So this hadith is showing us the necessity that Islam encouraging us to keep these family ties together. And also the hadith is showing us the blessings and the virtues that what you get or what you gain as a result of doing this. Phone calls, visitation, write them, checking on them. Even if it's nothing except a good word, if Allah bless you with money, share with them, shelter in them, try to consult them, whatever that you think, how you can help them by whatever means you can, okay? So if you do this, this will bless you with two things. One will enlarge and wide your provision, okay? Will enlarge your provision. Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. And this also will increase your age. Some of the scholars understood this to be that mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless your age okay, as example, a person, alaykum as-salam, a person, he will make, let's say that he lived for 60 years, okay, and during these 60 years that Allah will bless him and direct him towards doing good deeds, okay, that somebody who lived 100 years, they did not do it, okay, like making the salah in jama'ah, you're getting more reward, maybe you can be blessed by getting the night of power, Laylatul Qadr, you worship during it, okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a blessings in your life, that you will be directed towards a good deed, that you do it, that you will be like as if you lived double of your age. Okay, some of the scholars, they understand the hadith that in actuality that your age will be extended. But somebody will say, how come my age will be extended? If Allah decreed for me to live 50 years, how I'm going to be 55? Because everything by Allah is decreed. So that means Allah had decreed for you to live 50 years, but also Allah had decreed for you that you will take good of your family and you keep the family ties, brothers and sisters and uncles and aunts, you visit them, that you be good to them. So as a result of this, Allah had decreed your age to be 55 instead of 50. Okay, so everything is by Allah's decree, even the good deed, okay, that you're going to do, Allah had decreed it that you're going to do. The dua is also by Allah's decree, okay. But regardless, whatever the explanation of this, we understand that keeping the family ties is something very good, and you'll be rewarded for it, okay, you'll be rewarded for it. The next hadith, which hadith 1253, وعن جبير بن مطعم مطعم رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يدخل الجنة قاطع لا يدخل الجنة قاطع أي قاطع رحم متفق عليه. This hadith reported by Jubair, may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith in the collection of Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim. So the hadith is authentic. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying was the meaning is that a person who cut the relationship, the ties between him and his family, this person is not going to be permitted to paradise. Okay? So this is means and ways also shows you how serious it is that you cut the family ties, okay? Regardless whatever how much is a person busy, how far they are, your uncles, your aunts, your relatives, all these people, you understand, who have a blood relationship with you, you have to keep in touch with them. And that we see the seriousness of this matter, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam showing us that a person who neglect this deed, that he's not going to enter paradise. Hadith 1254, وعن المغيرة ابن شعبة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن الله حرم عليكم عقوق الأمهات وودى البنات ومنعا وهات وكره لكم قيل وقال وكثرة السؤال وإضاعة المال متفق عليه. This hadith reported by Shu'bah, may Allah be pleased with him, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith in the collection of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, rahmatullah alayhim, the hadith is authentic, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had forbid, is saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Almighty had forbid for you disobedience of your mothers and burying your daughters alive and withholding and asking, and he disliked for you. He said, she said, he said, and too much questions and wasting of the money. Okay, so we have here 6 items approximately. I think is عقوق الأمهات وأن البنات منع وهات. Okay, 6 items that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid it and dislike it, and this shouldn't be the characteristic of the Muslims. Number one, the disobedience of the parents in general, okay, but specifically for the mothers, okay, specifically the mothers, because we understand how the mother, okay, had contribute more towards your existence and your upbringing and all the things, from carrying you as a baby for 9 months, and after this suckling you and raising you and all the things. But does not, because the hadith says the mother, that means that you be disobedient to your father, okay? But that all of it forbidden, but specifically the mothers more, okay? And why? Because also sometimes we take advantage of the mothers, because you know, the mother is more lenient than the father and things like this. So now she have to say to you, stop 10 times for you to stop, okay? Or don't do it, okay? Take advantage, and especially if your father is not there, okay? You know what I mean. Is it right, Jameel? So, especially understand that we're not supposed to be taking advantage of our mothers. So disobedience of the mothers, and we have to understand that everything guarded by the limits of Allah. That does not mean, okay, my mother said to me, go and buy me wine, that you go and buy her wine. Because number one, our obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. So there is no obedience to anybody is a disobedience of Allah. So if somebody order you to do something, and what he ordering you is disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you could not go ahead and do it, okay? Because Allah comes first, right? And our obedience to our mothers comes as a result of Allah commanding us to do this, okay? So we have to understand where to draw the line. But if it's not something beyond your ability, neither is something haram, that you have to do your best to obey your mother. The second thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid it is burying the daughters alive. Alright? And this used to be one of the famous things that the people in Jahiliyyah they used to do with their daughters. وَمَنَعَ وَهَدْ مَنَعَ to withhold, okay, for you to withhold, and had for you to demand from somebody to give you. Had means give. Yeah, had means give me, alright, or أعطيني. So مَنَعَ وَهَدْ for you to withhold. Withhold what? Withhold certain things that you're supposed to give Islamically. That, as example, the zakah. The zakah, you're supposed to give zakah. So when you withhold it, Allah dislikes this and Allah forbid it. And if you've been invited to be witness to something, and maybe you're the only witness, and now you withhold to be witness to this, and as a result of this, the innocent person will be guilty, and the guilty person maybe will be the innocent one. So anything that you're supposed to give it, regardless this by saying, by action, in your property that you suppose according to Islam to give it, when you withhold it, Allah forbid this. And had asking, demanding what the people got, which is not yours, okay? This also is not supposed to be from the characteristic of the Muslim, and asking and demanding from people things which does not belong to you originally, okay? So now you would be a person who demand your right, or demanding, stubborn giving what you're supposed to be given, but you're demanding something that you are not supposed to be getting. Okay? This could not be done. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He dislikes for you. Qila wa qal. This is very serious problem. Okay? With men and women. And we're talking about the Muslims, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when giving this hadith, he's giving it to the Muslims. He's not giving it to the kuffar. Qila wa qal, qila wa qal, and this would bring about destruction for families, for communities, for okay. Or he said, she said, okay. And we become like a radio or a TV carrying news from a place to place. Okay, and this is not a healthy sign. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us that man kana yu'minu billahi wa yawm al-akhir falyaqul khayran aw liyasmut, that whosoever believes in Allah and the day of judgment, let him say something good or be quiet. If what you're going to say is not good, so is for your own safety, for your own safety, don't say it. Okay? And sometimes we feel relaxed by saying what we want to say. But believing in Allah, believing in the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and even if you feel that you've been transgressed against, you understand that Allah sees and hears, and He can take for what you lost. Okay? But if a person, whatever he's going to say or she's going to say, is not beneficial for us in our deen, okay, is not going to be something good for us, that we should refrain from it. So Allah dislike for us what? He said, she said, and like this. قِيلَ وَقَالْ وَكَثْرَةَ السُّؤَالِ. Too much questions, okay, especially questions about is not something that it be beneficial for us in our deen. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Something is not beneficial for us in our deen. We have to be careful about too much questions. And we come with the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that min husni islam al-mar tarku ma la ya'ni. It is from one of the main characteristic, one of the good behavior of a Muslim, leave alone what doesn't concern you. Oh, who's this brother? Oh, who's this sister? Oh, why is this people doing this? Why is this person wearing this? Why is this and that? Things which doesn't belong to you, why is? It's not going to benefit you anything in your deen. Leave it alone. It's better to leave it alone. Too much questions about things doesn't help you in your deen, on your dunya, you should avoid it. Lastly, ida'at al-mal. Ida'at al-mal, spending the money, things which has no benefit for you. Has no benefit for you. In your deen, in your dunya, for your family, for your community, for your neighbors. Okay? And one of the most famous things that we see it in ida'at al-mal, wasting of money, smoking cigarette as example, which a lot of people look to it almost like nothing. Okay? Like it's nothing. But smoking cigarette is, you are spoiling and wasting and destroying your money. And for sure there is no any benefit in smoking cigarette as example. So this itself is a hadith. You say وَإِضَاعَةِ الْمَالِ, it shows you that this is haram. Squandering your property or your money, إِضَاعَةِ الْمَالِ, to waste it. Okay? So all the Muslims have to refer and stay away from these things which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is disobedience to the mothers, okay, killing the children, and not giving the people their rights, demanding things which is not yours, try to get into people business, asking too much questions, and wasting of the money. So what's this hadith telling us? that we should do the opposite of all these things. That means we have to obey our parents, that we have to take care of our children, especially our daughters, okay, that we should be given what we're supposed to be given and not to demand what is not ours, and that we say good and not to be talking too much about things that is not our business, and not to ask about things is not related to us, is not beneficial for us, and that we be careful with the way how we spend our money. Hadith 1255. وعن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال رضا الله في رضا الوالدين وسخط الله في سخط الوالدين. That the pleasure of Allah comes as a result of the pleasure of your parents, and this pleasure of Allah comes as a result of displeasing your parents. Okay, let's see how it's said here. Allah's pleasure results from parents' pleasure, and Allah's displeasure results from parents' displeasure. Okay, so we have to understand that there is connection here between pleasing our parents and pleasing to Allah. And that for us to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when you please Allah, Allah please with you, Allah helping you, Allah assisting you, Allah makes things easy in you, that you have to struggle and do your best to please your parents. And to have to understand that by displeasing your parents, you're going to make things difficult for your own self, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be displeased with you. This hadith reported by Abdullah ibn Amr, and the hadith is authentic, sahih. Hadith number 1256. وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال والذي نفسي بيده لا يؤمن عبد حتى يحب لجاره أو لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. متفق عليه. Now this hadith, which reported by Anas, may Allah be pleased with him, and the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, rahmatullah alayhima, so the hadith is authentic, it shows you that being good is not only limited to your parents or to your family and the people that you have family relationship, okay? Because your neighbors, as example, okay, or your Muslim brother, those people, there is no blood relationship with them, but still Islam encourages you and demand in you that you be good to them to such a degree that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying was the meaning is, I swear by the one who hold my soul in his hand, none of you will be a true believer until he loves for his neighbor or to his brother whatever he loves for himself. Okay, so the same thing, you don't want your house to be burning, how you can wish this for your neighbor? The same thing, that you would like to be good and rich and reasonable and fair, same thing that you wish this for your Muslim brother and your neighbor. The same way that you want to have a good house, you wish this for your Muslim brother and your Muslim neighbors. Okay? So Iman demands in you that you have to be concerned, even if you could not do it with your own hand, but at least you have to wish this and you hope it for your Muslim brother. Why? Because he's Muslim. Okay? And if the Muslims, they have nothing to do except this, their condition will be much, much better than what they live in today. Because now everybody thinking about his Muslim brother and sister. what they have in their heart is no hatred, is not envy, is no jealousy. I could not give you money, but I wish that you can have, okay, money like me. I could not give you this knowledge, but at least I can wish it for you. You see? So, because if you have a good feeling in your heart, that means there is no room for hatred and jealousy there. So that means there is no any way for you to hurt me or to harm me. Why? Because what's in your heart? Nothing but wishing good for me. This is because what? Because I'm your neighbor, or that I am your Muslim brother. Okay? Next hadith, which hadith 1257, وعن ابن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه قال سألت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أي الذنب أعظم؟ قال أن تجعل لله ندا وهو خلقك. قلت ثم أي؟ قال ثم أن تقتل ولدك خشية أن يأكل معك. قلت ثم أي؟ قال ثم أن تزاني بحليلة جارك. This hadith reported by Ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhima. The hadith is authentic. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he questions the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ask him, O Prophet of Allah, what is the greatest sin? He said that you claim or prescribe a partner beside Allah while Allah is the only one creator. That means how you can prescribe a partner beside Allah and you know that no one else creator except Allah. Okay? How you can see somebody else to be equal to Allah or similar to Allah while you know the only one can create is Allah? So if Allah is the only one can create, he is the only one that worthy of our worship, and he is the only one that we have to enslave ourselves to him. He said that for you to associate a partner beside Allah and Allah is your creator. He said, what comes after this? Okay? He said that you kill your child out of fear of poverty. Huh? Out of fear of poverty. Say, oh, I could not understand how I'm going to be living with five kids. Okay? So today, maybe did not go kill them physically like before, but they do different methods for prevention of having children, okay, out of fear of poverty, okay, يعني تحديد النسل, huh, تحديد النسل, that having a certain number of children and this it. If a woman or a family try to organize or to space the children for a taking care of them from the physical being, and or that the woman her health is not good enough, things like this, this okay. But if somebody say only I wanted three kids because I could not, you understand, support more than three. What do you mean you could not support? You don't support even yourself. Allah is the one who makes means for you. We don't know what's going to happen to us tomorrow. You can be have a degree and you can be working for jobs and no jobs for you. You see? Jobs can be available and you have a degree and after this something happened to you, you became a handicap, you could not work. You see? So Allah is the one who provides. And Allah provides for snakes, for ants, for everything living. He's not going to provide for the person who makes salah and say la ilaha illallah. But this is because the weakness of faith, people do this. So when people, they do not want more children, out of fear of they could not support them, this is haram. This is haram. Okay? Why? Because that means they have a doubt in Allah. They did not trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ability to provide for them and their children. So he said that you carry your child out of fear that he will eat with you. He said what else? He said that you commit adultery or fornication with your wife neighbor. Okay, as we understand, zina in Islam is haram, but when it comes with the neighbor, because the neighbor has more rights over you and the neighbor supposed to be more protected and you're supposed to care more for him and you're supposed to be more kind to him, alaykum as-salam. You see, so for somebody to trust the grace, the limits of Allah with his neighbors is worse sin than transgress the limits of Allah with somebody else. You see, Hadith 1258, عن عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من أكبر من الكبائر شتم الرجل والديه. قيل وهل يسب الرجل والديه؟ قال نعم، يسب أبا الرجل فيسب أباه، ويسب أمه فيسب أمه. The Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم in this hadith which is reported by Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, and the hadith is authentic in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi. The Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said that one of the major sins, from the major sins, so from this hadith we understand that sin has two types, there is a major and minor. Okay, so the Prophet of Allah said that one of the great sins, one of the major sins is what? That a person will curse his own parents. He will curse what? His own parents. So one of the Sahaba asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Prophet of Allah, will a man curse his parents? Cause is to the Arab, you understand, and to the Muslims in that time, that somebody have to be out of his mind to curse his parents. So say, O Prophet Allah, how a person can be cursing his parents? He said, by you cursing somebody's father, he will curse your father. You curse his mother, he will curse your mother. So that means indirectly you had cursed your parents. You caused the curse to come to your parents by cursing somebody's parents. Okay? And this was indirectly. Can you imagine if somebody cursed his own parents? Okay? If this is something indirectly, and this is from the major sins, can you imagine if somebody, he himself, he cursing his own mother or his own father? This unbelievable is beyond even a Muslim imagination. This shows us that we have to avoid arguments and dealing with people that have bad tongue, because possibility that you may get into something like this, and after this you cursing him, now you causing a curse, alaykum assalam, you causing a curse coming to your parents, and now you be committing a great sin. There is one thing that we want to learn also from this hadith, it's very important, that things which may lead to something, okay? What it leads, to something. So now what we're saying that a person should close this window that it may bring, okay, wind to you. If you know that there is a chicken factory behind this building, okay, now you're supposed to keep this window always closed because the smell, the bad smell will be coming. Otherwise, the moment you open this window, now you will call in yourself and causing yourself to be smelling this, okay? So whatever leads to haram, you should try to avoid it, because getting into it, it may bring the haram to you. So getting in argument, sitting with the kuffar, hanging with the kuffar, people who doesn't know how to act, it will lead eventually, soon or later, for argument, debates, cursing, which will bring what? A curse to your parents, and now you cause this to come to you. You see? So when you know that there are things, it may lead later on to something, you should try to avoid it. Next hadith, which hadith number 1259, and this is page 516. وعن أبي أيوب رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا يحل لمسلم أن يهجر أخاه فوق ثلاث ليال يلتقيان فيعرض هذا ويعرض هذا وخيرهما الذي يبدأ بالسلام. The hadith is in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhima. The hadith is authentic, reported by Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, may Allah be pleased with him. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is not permissible, is not lawful for a Muslim to boycott his Muslim brother beyond 3 nights. Okay, stop talking to him beyond 3 nights. When they meet each other, this one will turn his face the other way, this one will turn his face to the other way, okay? Because he don't want to even, he act as if he don't even see him, he don't want to talk to him. He said, this is not lawful in Islam. And the best bit among these two is the one who start with the greeting. Okay? So when you humble yourself, you get in the reward. You are better than the other one in the sight of Allah. You see? And if none of you go and approach the other one and spoke, both of you are sinners. Both of you are sinners. We understand we're human being. We get mad, we get angry. Sometimes we understand we're displeased with what happened, okay? But as a result of this, yes, you can get angry, you feel bad, you don't talk to this person. But 1 night, 2 nights, 3 nights, this is the maximum. Because as a believers, after 3 nights, this thing is supposed to go, alright? Otherwise, there is some problem with your faith. You see, because a Muslim is not supposed to be holding what you call grudges against each other, hating. This is not what's in Islam. What's in the Muslim heart always have to be love, all right, for the Muslim brother. It have to be always love, and we understand we make mistakes, and this mistake, so Islam, he allows a room for be as a human being. Islam recognizes you as a human being with your weakness, and you're going to be mad about it. But after 3 nights, it's it. You see? It's so strange, you find people go for months and years. It's bad. Okay? This is very serious. It's very serious. except you understand for a religious reason, okay? Religious reason, somebody doing something haram, you may see that by boycott him, this will help him to get away from this haram that he's doing. Now, this encourageable, okay, that you do this. Alright? If you think that boycotting this person, not talking to him, not to salute him, will make him think about the wrong that he's doing, is good. But if you're going to boycott him, and this will maybe make him do more haram, okay? Now you shouldn't boycott him, okay? Yeah. This one thing very important, this hadith, that we see how Islam is so concerned about the unity of the Muslims, okay? Being together. Because you can imagine in a community, as example, that 10% at least of the community doesn't talk to each other. Another year, 20%. Okay, after a couple of years, that half of the community, so what? This could not, you understand, this is not a healthy situation. Islam, he want to bring about unity and togetherness among the Muslims, and whatever happened, you feel bad, you feel disturbed, you got your 3 nights, and after this, you have to go at least the basics, okay? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, okay? This is should. This will be the minimum, okay? But not even to salute him, this is completely wrong and is haram. Hadith 1260 reported from Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kullu ma'roofin sadaqa. Every act of goodness is a charity for you. So the sadaqah is not limited only in the money, because not everybody have money beyond his needs to give it away. But you may can help the person by different means, giving him a ride, okay, advising him about a matter, typing something for him. Alaykum salam. I was saying typing for Anwar, not for you. I didn't mean to hit you with it. Okay? Typing the fifth album of Bulugh al-Maram for him. Okay? That the Muslims been waiting on it for how many months now? You see? So anything that you extended to